I have said the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And then I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter number 1 in the New Testament. When writing to the believers in that city, the Apostle Paul said, I thank God for you and keep you in my prayers always, that thou might fully understand, and look at the 20th verse, that you might fully understand that which He has wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. I'd like to just make a statement that began from that 20th verse. The resurrection of Christ is not only a Bible truth, it's a historical fact. Mark it down. Whatever men might say, it's a reality. Historically, as well as something spiritual outlined in the Bible, it's well documented. And because of the Lord's resurrection, we've been given two outstanding promises. Many, many more, but I'd like to mention just two this morning. First of all, because He lives, I have power in my life to live an overcoming life and live in victory. And secondly, because He lives today, we have the promise of an eternity with the Lord forever and forever and forever, yonder in the glory world. Brother, that's a promise I rejoice about today. The resurrection makes the difference. What a promise. We can have a full life. We can enjoy a full life right now while we're in this mortal place. But thank God there's another day coming when we're going to have a glorified body, a new body, and with Him forever and forever. We've got some rejoice about even now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God for the hope of the resurrection for us. Thank God we're going to have a new body. One day be with the Lord and with the redeemed saints. Thank God for heaven. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And that's going to be my title of the sermon today. I have a hope. I have a hope. And this is not in my notes at all, but I'm looking for that blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a hope. Hallelujah. Martin Luther Jr. went up on to the Capitol and gave that tremendous speech all those years ago. I have a hope. And brother, that he did. And that was a tremendous speech. He gave hope to many of his people. But we have a hope even greater than that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God. I have a hope. I want to go back to the reading. I'm not going to turn to read from the book of Job, but I want to go back to the story of Job to begin this Easter Sunday morning sermon. According to the Bible, we find that he was a perfect man. Upright. He loved God. He served God. He obeyed God. He was a man after God's own heart. He was a believer in Jehovah God. The Bible says he was the greatest man in all of the East. He was wealthy. And in one day's time, that tragedy struck. A man that had everything. In one day's time, he lost his cattle and his sheep and his camels and his servants and all 10 of his children. One day. I was thinking about that even this morning. How that he had 10 children and he lost them all with all of his wealth, with all of his goods, with all his possessions. He lost it all in one day. I thought about our family when I was a young boy. I had to be 8 or younger because we moved from that house when I was 8 years old. We had a dog. We had dogs most of our life. They stayed outside. If you have one that stays inside, that's all right. We had a collie dog named Sport. We lived at not quite a quarter of a mile from the school, and he would walk to school with us and go back home. And when it was a time for us to get out of school, Sport was there to walk home with us. He hadn't even been trained. One day he died. First funeral I ever attended. Daddy went down under that big black walnut tree way down the end of our property. Dug a grave for Sport. Covered him up and we put flowers around that, and I don't remember all that went on, but I was there. Some of us were crying because Sport was so close to us. My first funeral. We just lost a dog. Job lost 10 children. And cattle. And sheep. And camels. And the servants. Then I read on in the Bible that that's not all. There came a day when he was smitten with boils from his head to his feet. It was painful. He sat in the ash heap, having lost everything, and now he's lost his health. He sits in the ash heap with a piece of broken pottery. He scrapes the corruption from his body. Looks like there's nothing to live for. He's lost it all. But that's not all. His wife gave up on God. And evidently, in her spare, she said, in essence, Job, God doesn't love you. If God loves you, He wouldn't let this happen. He doesn't care. He's not concerned about you. If He really loved you, you wouldn't have lost all of this. Then she went on to say, why don't you just curse God and die? And you would think that would be the crowning blow. Yet the Bible says that Job had some friends, and when they heard of his condition, they came to visit him. And there was such a shock when they saw Job that they didn't even say a word for 7 days. They sat there with him, and then they began to say, Job, something's wrong. Something's missing. You claim to love God. The people think you love God. You live an aberrant and you live a holy life. The outward appearance of somebody that really is in love with God. But you've got sin in your life, Job. And you just repent. Everything will be all right. But the reason that you're going through all of this is because sin in your life. And I want to make something as plain as I can today. That theology was wrong in Job's day. That theology was wrong in Paul's day. That theology is wrong today. Good people get sick. Good people have afflictions. Good people have trials and tribulations. But I want to clarify something if I can. Sometimes it is sin that brings problems. Individual sin, personal sin, because of the way you live. A lot of times there'll be problems that you would never have had if you'd served God. I've mentioned our conference superintendent in Arizona in the early 60s. After he had a scar right down here. I mean a terrible scar. When he was in sin, he got in trouble. Got in a fight. He was slashed, and I mean a terrible scar he had beside his eye. He carried that with him to the grave. But God had forgiven him of the way that he lived and all the way he carried that scar. A lot of times, things happen in our lives when we're in sin because of sin. But I want to make it plain as I possibly can today, although there are some even in the full gospel church that are still teaching that people that will live right and serve God and love God and obey God, that they will have a prosperity and success and divine help. I'm here to tell you that there's no promise of that in this life. I thank God for the way He's blessed every one of us. Every one of us could have difficulties and afflictions. Did you remember what the preacher preached Sunday night? Afflicted, but not affected. And I added to it, devastated, but not defeated. You might go through something. But thank God, I like the first part that I said, go through it. I've often heard it said in the book of Exodus and some of the early writings of Moses, when the Bible says, and it came to pass, and it came to pass that this happened, it came to pass, thank God that it's going to come to pass. This life that we're living today on this earth and this mortal body is going to pass. But there's another day, because He lives. Thank God, thank God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somehow, in the midst of all of Job's trouble, with his children having died and his lost all of his possessions and his wife turning her back on God, having Job to curse God and die, and his friends coming with all kind of doctrines that are contrary to the Bible, with all of that, Job was touched by the Holy Spirit. And one day he said, I know there's one thing that I'm sure of. I don't know about this and this and why it happened. I don't know why God is this. I don't know why this has happened, but one thing I know that my Redeemer liveth, and one of these days I'm going to see Him in my flesh. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to see God. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and He shall stand in the latter day upon the earth, and though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. I'm going to see God. Hallelujah. I've heard from him. I've had him to touch my side. He's come to our family and healed family members. One of these days I'm going to see him. And Jerry Falwell used to put out a little pin that said, perhaps today. When you wake up in the morning, if the Lord tarries through the night, perhaps that day will be the day. In fact, you might not go to bed tonight. Maybe today's the day. Hallelujah. Thank God. Then I read from the book of Psalms, 16th chapter. Maybe you know the story how that at that particular time, we find that David was running for his life. God had chosen him to be the next king. And King Saul is jealous of everything that comes David's way and the blessings and the accolades and all the rest concerning David. And the Bible says that he was running, he was fleeing for his life because Saul was out to kill him. Jealousy. Let me just throw this in. Jealousy is a cruel thing. And he makes a prophetic statement in the 16th chapter with his life filled with troubles and trials and hardships and this is if there's no place to really sit down and enjoy life because he's always on the run for his life. He said, I have set the Lord always before me. He made serving the Lord his top priority. I have always set the Lord before me. He's there. He's there with me. He's with me all the time. He's number one in my life. Listen, if you want victory, if you want the joy, if you want happiness in life, put him at the top of the list. I've mentioned before, I'll mention it again, my mother used to be, years and years and years ago, the leader of the youth group at our church. We called ourselves the Lifeliners in the Pentecostal Holiness Church. And my mother, giving an illustration about having joy, she said, J-O-I, J stands for Jesus, put him first. Y stands for yourself, put yourself last. O stands for others, put others between you and yourself, and you'll have joy. If you get yourself in the wrong place, your joy is gone. If you get Jesus in the wrong place, your joy is gone. Keep joy. Keep Jesus at the very forefront of your life, loving and serving Him all the time, not just on Sunday. Every day. David was running for his life, but he says, I have set the Lord always before me. He refused to allow anything or anyone to come between him and the Lord. Let me stop there one more time for everyone's sake and for my sake as well. Don't let anything come between you and God. And then I go a little bit further. Don't let anyone come between you and God. The devil will see to it. I heard a rabbi this week said that he did not believe in the devil. He didn't believe there was a devil. I want everyone to understand all the meanness in this world didn't just happen. There's a devil. And the Bible declares that over and over and over again. Jesus declared it. He said to the unsaved, you are the children of the devil. And I thought about David in this situation, going through such a difficult time, and his life is really on the line, and he says, I have set the Lord always before me. I've made up my mind with his soul, whoever it might be, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to obey God. When you do that, brother, you can have the victory. He was faithful regardless of the obstacles, and because of that, he said in the 9th verse, my heart is glad. Can you imagine he's hiding out in the forest? He's hiding out in caves. Saul and his armies are after him all constantly, all the time. And David is just one step ahead. Just one step ahead. And he says, not only have I said the Lord always before me, but I said my heart is glad. You can have a glad heart in the midst of trouble. I've often said when you're going through a trial, if you've got the victory, you've got hold of something. You've got hold of something real. Every time a trial comes your way, if it knocks you up, the props out from under you and you falter and fail, get up and ask God to help you. There's victory in serving God. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. The thought just came to me from that song we were singing a moment ago. Up from the grave, he arose. I've always liked that since I was in church as a youngster, playing in the church orchestra. I always liked that when they played, sing that song on Easter, maybe some other times as well. I liked it when my brother that played a trombone started off on that bass part, up from the grave he arose. I always liked it. Not only my brother's trombone, but I like the words, up from the grave he arose. He's alive, he's alive. Thank God. And David said, his face always before me, and I'm not going to allow anything to come between me and my God. I'm going to serve the Lord. He's number one in my life. I'm going to live for Him. Whatever happens, I belong to God. Brother, when you have that kind of spirit, you've got something real. Don't let anything or anyone come between you and God. And then thirdly, he said he caught a glimpse of the resurrection. I'm going to read it again in the 16th chapter of the book of Psalms. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Don't get caught up with the pleasures of the world. They will fail you. They will let you down. But David said, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. I found serving God is the greatest life in all the world. Not only do we have hope in this present life, but we have hope everlasting on the other side. Thank God for the resurrection. I have a hope. And finally, from the writings of Paul to the Ephesians, in the first chapter of Ephesians, Paul says, as he's writing, there's power in the resurrection. In the 20th verse, he says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. When Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, I thought, what a difference it makes when the Lord comes by. Let me give an illustration. We'll discuss some of this maybe during the study of the Revelation about the resurrection and what have you. The rapture. I want you to see something, if you will. Jesus raised a young girl, a junior high, 12-year-old, Jairus' daughter, from the dead. She was flesh and blood, like you and I. She died. Her breath was gone. She did. Jesus came and resurrected her. Then he resurrected from the dead the widow of Nain's son, possibly middle age, we don't know. A widow's son, on his way to the cemetery, in the casket. And Jesus and the disciples stood by to honor the funeral procession as it made its way, and then Jesus steps out, lays his hands on the bier, on the casket. And the young man was raised from the dead.
He had a mortal body like I had. He died, was on his way to the cemetery to be buried, and Jesus raised him from the dead, and he still had a mortal body. Later on, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, possibly, in the Bible class. A mortal man died, been dead 4 days. Body's begun to decay. And Jesus goes to the cave, to the entrance of the cave, and cries out, "Lazarus, come forth." Lazarus, a man, mortal flesh and blood, had died 4 days ago. And Jesus raised him from the dead, and when he raised him from the dead, he still had mortal flesh and blood. What I'm talking about from the book of Ephesians with the writings of the Apostle Paul. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he was a mortal man like we are, flesh and blood. But when he was crucified and died and buried, he arose. But he did not rise mortal flesh. He rose immortal. Hallelujah. He arose glorified with a new body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The grave could not contain him. The tomb could not hold him. He's alive. He's alive. Well, you say, preacher, he does not have a flesh and blood mortal body. He has a Holy Spirit body. A spiritual body. A glorified body. And one of these days, I'm going to have one too. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Because he lives, I shall live also. Paul was writing about the differences concerning these resurrections. He says, but since God has set him, God has set the, in David's time, God has set him on his right hand, and now the Bible says, in Paul's writings, how that the Lord has set the Christ on his right hand, his own right hand, as Tom mentioned in the preliminaries this morning, and gave him authority and power over all the principalities and the powers of this world. Everything that is out there, God has made him the head of it all. And he's the head of the church, which is his body. And I want to explain something with you this morning. When Jesus arrived in the glory world, having paid the price for our sins, he will sit down at the right hand of the Father. And he's there today for a purpose. He's there as my mediator. He's there as my advocate. He's praying for me. Can you imagine that? When you're going through a hard place and you feel like no one cares, I want you to remember this. Sitting at the right hand of the Father in glory, Jesus Christ is praying for you. Amen. I believe I can keep on going since I know he's alive. Praise God, praise God. What can man do to me? What can mortal man do to me? He said, Brother Jones, they can kill you. Nothing but a shortcut to heaven. I'm not asking anybody to kill me, but listen, when it happens, when I breathe my last breath, I let you know something. We're missing this again on Wednesday night. When I breathe my last breath, the next thing I know, I'm going to be with him. Hallelujah. I don't think we even begin to realize what it's all about. It's greater than we can take in. Hallelujah. He took upon himself immortality. Incorruption. No longer flesh and blood being the life, but the life now is the Spirit. And I thought, my God, I've preached about the rapture now for 50-some years. I preached on Easter. I preached, my first Easter sermon was a sunrise service. And I made up my mind I'd never do that again in that situation. It was so cold, and the wind was blowing, and I imagine they were as miserable as I was. It didn't bless me, and I'm sure it didn't bless them. And I'm honest. Now, I don't mind a sunrise service. I hope the sun come up. But I want you to know something. The Bible says the Son of Righteousness is going to rise. He's going to rise with healing in his wings. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Some of you have suffered and suffered and suffered. And every time you take a step, it's painful. When you sit down, it's painful. And when you stand up, it's painful. Pain every day. there's coming a time, hallelujah, when we're going to lay aside this mortal flesh and we're going to put on immortality, hallelujah. We're going to lay aside this corruption and put on incorruption. There's going to be another day, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Paul said when he was raised from the dead, he ascended into heaven and he sat at the right hand of the Father, and there's been given authority and power over all out there. I'm glad that he rules, he reigns, he's God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I serve a risen Savior. Thank God. He is Lord. I thank God for the hope that is mine today. Because of Him who is Lord. I'm going to read the words of a song. The Bible said all things have been put under His feet. We're serving a risen Savior. He's Lord. When He returns to this earth, at the end of the tribulation period, according to the 19th chapter of Revelation, we're going to cry out, King of kings and Lord of lords. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall, hail Him who saves you by His grace. And crown Him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to Him all majesty ascribe, and crown Him Lord of all. And the fourth verse, oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at His feet shall fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown Him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown Him Lord of all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's Lord today. He's Lord today. If He's not Lord of your life, He wants to be. If He's not Lord of your life, He's died for your sins. He was dead for your sins. He rose again that you might be saved. Thank God, thank God. And I have no reservation telling you this, and I'm closing. If I was not a Christian this morning, and no, would know what I know now, and I was not a Christian, I would make that my way to that altar. If God would even speak, if He would even whisper to me, if God would just tap me on the shoulder, if God somehow, the Spirit of the Lord would just somehow invite me, I would get up out of my seat and I'd make my way to the altar. He said, Brother Jones, that's easy for you to say. It is easy to say, because I did it. It's real. And so I'll testify from February 1955 until today. You can figure it up, 52 years and a month. My wife and I have been saved. We never knew the joy until we got saved. We never knew what life was really like until we really got saved. We never knew the peace that comes in your heart and in your life until we came to Jesus. We never knew what it was like to know God until we made up our minds. We're going to serve God. If there's anyone in this house today that doesn't know Him, I want you to know this today. The altar is wide open. The Lord Jesus Christ, look at me if you will right now. When He was hanging on the cross, His hands were outstretched like this, nailed, nailed. Spikes through His hands and His feet, nailed to the cross. Why did He do it? For you and me. For you and me. If you don't know Christ as your Savior this morning, I beg you, whatever your age is, whoever you are, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, this is not joining the church. You don't have to believe the way our church believes, but you must believe this. You must believe that Jesus died for your sins. And He's the only way to heaven. You can play them to various ones, and you can count beads, and you can go to so many pilgrimages and whatever. But there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him today, I beg you to make things right with the Lord. Will you stand together with me? Come to the piano, honey. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God.